so glad for Sam to hear, aren't you?
Amen.
Little Johnny went to his mother demanding a new bicycle. He decided that he should take a look at himself, the way he's been acting. She said, "Well, Johnny, it isn't Christmas, and we don't have the money to just go out and buy anything you want, so why don't you write a letter to Jesus and pray for him instead?" After his temper tantrum, his mother sent him to his room. He finally sat down to write a letter to Jesus. "Dear Jesus, I've been a good boy this year. I would appreciate a new bicycle. Your friend, Little Johnny." Little Johnny knew that Jesus really knew what kind of boy he had been. It wasn't all that good. So he ripped up that letter and decided to give another try. "Dear Jesus, I've been an okay boy this year, and I want a new bicycle. Yours truly, Little Johnny." Well, Little Johnny knew that wasn't totally honest either, so he tore it up and tried again. "Dear Jesus, I've thought about being a good boy this year. Can I have a new bicycle? Signed, Little Johnny." Well, Little Johnny looked deep down his heart, which, by the way, is what the mother wanted him to do anyway. He crumpled up the letter and threw it in the trash can and went outside. He aimlessly wandered about, depressed because of the way he had treated his parents and really considered his actions altogether. He finally found himself in front of a church. Johnny went inside and knelt down, looking around and not knowing what he should really do. He finally decided to go up and began to walk out the door and was looking out at all the statues that were there. All of a sudden, he grabbed a small one and ran out the door. He went home and hid under his bed and then wrote this letter. "Jesus, I've broken most of the Ten Commandments, shot spit wads in school, tore up my sister's Barbie doll, and a lot of other stuff as well. I'm desperate. I've got your mama. If you ever see her again, give me a bike. Signed, you know who." Probably not the best way to get a bicycle. Might work, but I doubt it. We've been looking at the wonder of Christmas during the season, and here's the last message in the series. Christmas Eve. Where has this year gone, huh? For those that couldn't make it tonight, we'd love you to join us in communion service at your home. So if you're watching online, so if you can grab some juice and bread after our message is done tonight, we'd love to have you partake of that with us. Amen. Today we'll look at the wonder of his birth. Check this out.
"And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Where does the creator of the universe send his son? Where does the prince of peace make his entrance? A barn, a stable, a manger of all places. Certainly no place fit for a king. But then again, this was no ordinary king. The Savior is born in a stable, so there are animals and animal stuff, manure, mud, a pitiful place for a human, much less the King of Kings. So why would he do that? Because the shepherd was coming to care for his sheep, to make a way for his sheep. And that's what shepherds do. They live where the sheep are. They eat where they eat, and they sleep where they sleep. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." You ever thought about that sign? Sign for what? Maybe it is a sign that Jesus is accessible to everyone. Maybe it's a sign that the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills can relate to a homeless person. that God will have nothing to do with the social status of mankind. Either way, it's a sign for all of us to go and do likewise. You see, later, Paul would write these words, that you should have the same attitude as Jesus Christ, who, being in the nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. He made himself nothing, becoming a servant, becoming a human likeness. The Creator, who had been served since before the dawn of time, stepped out of heaven to become a servant. Who does that? The God who's laid in a manger. A messy feeding trough. Yeah. Why such a messy place? Because he came to save messy people. So, that first Christmas was dirty, grimy, filthy. It was messy. But thank God it was. Because without it, what a mess we'd be in.
That video reminds us of the fresh way that of what happened on that first Christmas when Jesus was born. Looks a lot more messy than it was, anything else. It wasn't that clean manger that we see in our TV scenes at similar homes. It wasn't that at all. That video depicted we send Christmas cards. It's always pretty and nice and esteemed. That's not how it was. Truth is, church, Jesus came to get messy. And the birth that took place in that messy born, that messy stable, barn on the outskirts of Bethlehem was anything but clean and sanitary. As beautiful as a birth is, a lot of messiness is involved in the process. It goes along with eventually seeing that little bundle of joy that we call our baby. If you've had the privilege or opportunity of being in the birthing room of when a baby's born, you probably can testify that the miracle of childbirth comes with sights, sounds, all different other emotions and sensations that can be described at times a bit messy. And after growing in the womb for 9 months, there is a cleanup process that has to take place before they hand the baby to the mom and dad. It's never quite as clean as they show in the movies. Sorry about that. It's just not. No matter how sanitized and scrubbed everybody is in that room, before it's all said and done, there will be some beautiful mess that accompanies that bouncing baby boy or girl. Do you know who's invited in the middle of that mess? Not only was Joseph there, hopefully, probably helping out Mary with that childbirth, but with that mess, but there was also shepherds shortly after the baby Jesus arrived. That came to visit. If one word could be used to describe what shepherds were, it undoubtedly would be messy. They were the roughnecks. They were the wrong kind of people and the wrong kind of crowd who were anything but sanitized and clean and all that stuff. Saintly. They were not that at all. Shepherds were messy people with messy jobs. But regardless of that, the angels invited them to come close to the birthplace of the manger. When this long-awaited Messiah finally came, was finally born, the angels invited shepherds, the messy folks, to come in and join them in this new birth, this manger experience. And if the messy shepherds were invited to see the newborn King Jesus, then a precedent was set for all of us who are a bit messy to come to Him, to live with Him, to be with Him. It calls us to come into a place that we too can come to know Him. And because that precedent was set, that means we too have a shot at encountering Jesus, coming close to Him in a fresh new way. Come near to Jesus in our lives on this Christmas. Our imperfect and sometimes messy lives do not disqualify us to encounter Jesus. It doesn't disqualify us to encounter the Messiah. He is the one who came to get messy. I'm glad for that. It's so good. And He invites us to draw near to Him in this Christmas time. The writer of Hebrews says it like this. He says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." In other words, Jesus invites us to come in the middle of our mess. He was tempted in every way to get tangled up in some of the same kind of messes that we do, that we find ourselves in. But He never let the mess invade His perfect life. And here's some more good news. He knows where you are and how to get you out of your mess. The Apostle Paul writes about this in a few of his letters, and one of those letters is the one he wrote to Romans. He talks about how He came to save us from our mess because He loved us so much. Listen to what Paul says. "For when the time was right, the Anointed One came and died to demonstrate His love for sinners who are entirely helpless, weak, and powerless to save themselves. Now who of us would dare to die for the sake of the wicked person? We can all understand if someone was willing to die for a truly noble person. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. And there is still much more to say of this unfailing love for us. For through the blood of Jesus, we have heard the powerful declaration, 'You are now righteous in my sight.' And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, you will never experience the wrath of God." That's really good news. The passage that we looked at is talking about the big mess that we find ourselves in, that we were in before we knew God, due to the sin that was from the nature of man and from the Garden of Eden, the sin that was into our lives. We were in a mess. It entangled us and messed up everything. But we have a Savior that came to correct our messes, to help us through our messes, to walk us through our messes, to be with us in our message. Jesus loved us so much that even while we were in our biggest sin mess of all, we could never create for ourselves anything out of that. Christ came from heaven to earth and was born so that ultimately He could one day die in our place on the cross. The ultimate act of love took care of the mess that we made that was running rampant in our lives and throughout the world. He made a way back for us to come to righteousness, to wholeness, and single-handedly cleaned up the mess that we found ourselves in. Wow. What good news? Eugene Peterson says it this way. When we sin and mess up our lives, we find that God doesn't go off and leave us. He enters into the troubles and saves us. I love that. This is part of the wonder of Christmas that we started at the birth of Bethlehem and culminated at the cross at Calvary. Jesus loved us so much that he chose to come close to us in the middle of our mess. Wow. Wow. Mike Yaconley, on his book, Messy Spirituality, talks us at length about Jesus' desire to get close to messy people, just like you and me. Jesus actually came to meet us in the middle of mess, and he writes this. Jesus wants people just like you and me to get close to him. Jesus loves people just like you who live in a city, have a wife or a husband, 3 kids, 2 cats, and a wash machine that stopped working. Jesus loves people who are single, work 60 to 70 hours a week, and have parents who wonder why we're not married, and have friends who make much more money than we do. Jesus loves people who are divorced, still trying to heal from the scars of rejection, trying to cope with the single parenting of children who don't understand why this happened to them. Jesus wants all of us who do not necessarily live life in a monastery, who don't have it all together, and probably never will, to feel welcome in his presence. He welcomes you in the midst of your messy life. In this whole part of Christmas, wonder Christmas, we get to realize Jesus is not afraid of our messy spirituality. What is true about many of our lives is that messy spirituality is an accurate description that most of us live, but few of us are willing to admit. However, it is such a relief when we realize the truth that Jesus is not repelled by our lives, no matter what kind of mess they seem to be in right now, no matter what kind of mess they seem to be, how adequate you feel this Christmas. No amount of mess can discourage Jesus from loving us fully in our humanity. He came to get messy. He came to get messy because he knew that is where we were. It's where we were in our lives, right in the middle of our mess of sin. And regardless of that, he persistently pursues us in the face of it all with love bigger than whatever mess we find ourselves in today. In his book, Kingdom of God, it's a party. Tony Capello writes about a prostitute who, while he was a diner in Honolulu, and it was early morning, folks, it was early morning, he couldn't sleep because of jet lag, so at 3:30 a.m. he's at this diner in Honolulu. And all of a sudden, these women of the night, these prostitutes, came in. One of them, named Agnes, they were very loud, very crude. And Agnes was having a birthday the next day, her 39th. He also heard them over here when they're asking, they're joking, saying, so what do you want, Agnes? You want a birthday party and a cake? And she goes, no, I've never had that before. I just, you know, just throw on my birthday. You know, sort of celebrating that fact. So after they left, Tony went up to the bartender and asked if they came every night. He said, every night, same time. They're always here. So Tony asked the bartender if he would help him throw a birthday party for Agnes. He loved the idea and made the cake, as a matter of fact. And Tony came in early and decorated the cake and decorated the room and made it and said, Happy Birthday Agnes sign all over. No, he did everything. He went out big. Long story short, she went in tears as Tony displayed the love of Jesus into her messy life. We need more Tonys, don't we? Who are willing to be with messy people. Jesus wasn't bothered by that. Tony wasn't bothered by that. Why are we? The psalmist talks about God pursuing us no matter how much mess we may be living in and experiencing in our messed up lives. Psalm 23:6 says this. We just lost the computer. No one said it can work on it. Let me just hang on a second. Because we just lost everything. Well, that's weird because it's still showing. Oh, wait, I'm way too far. Oh, we lost TVs. They went off. Why'd they go off? That makes no sense. Let's try this again. Volume's there. Powering off. Not central conch. Power on. Give me a break here a second. All right, now come back here. There. There. That's weird. Okay, we don't have the TV anymore, I guess. That stinks. I'm sure it happened. Oh, bummer. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What that verse reminds us about is that no matter how much of a mess our life will be in today, there is still a great wonder to behold this Christmas. The reason is because the God we are celebrating, who was born in a manger as our Savior, is the one who came from heaven to earth to show us the way to new life. He is the God who continues pursuing us in the middle of our mess with his goodness and his mercy. It is what Jesus described about the good shepherd going after the one lost sheep that found itself in a real mess when it separated from the rest of the herd, the rest of the flock by one and all. Jesus asked a question in Matthew 18 says this, and 18 through 20, 12 through 13 says, think of it this way. If a man owns 100 sheep and one lamb wanders away and is lost, won't he leave the 99 grazing on the hillside and go out and thoroughly search for the one lost lamb? And if he finds his lost lamb, he rejoices over it more than any of the, over the 99 who are safe. The good shepherd, Jesus, was talking about pursuing the one sheep that was in a mess because it had wandered off. And he was pursuing that one with goodness and mercy in his heart and mind. This Christmas, you and I just need to slow down long enough in our wanderings to let his goodness and mercy catch up with us. If we choose to put our messy lives in his holy hands, we can have confidence based on all that's written about Jesus in the Bible that he specializes in dealing with our mess and with the way that he knows how to make something new, beautiful, and clean. He knows how to turn sorrow into joy, graves into gardens, mourning into dancing, and give freedom to prisoners. Jesus is all about giving people a fresh start in life when they trust him. Perhaps this Christmas you just need a fresh start with Jesus. Maybe you need to go back to where it began in the Christmas story and remember that in innocence in the form of a baby stepped into a mess to save us from our mess of our lives in this world. If you've missed it earlier in the series, then let me just read part of it about the messy shepherds being invited in this messy little manger to worship divinity in human flesh once more. Luke 2:16-19 reminds us of this truth concerning the shepherds. He says, so then they ran into the village and found their way to Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the feeding trough. Upon seeing this miraculous sign, the shepherds recounted what they had just happened. Everyone who heard the shepherd's story was astonished by what they were told. But Mary treasured all these things in her heart and often pondered when and what they meant. What must have been going through her mind? What was she pondering? Perhaps it was just a blur of how that was not how she thought her first hours of motherhood would be or play out. What a mess. What an unbelievable, unique, and holy mess. What a delivery. What a special delivery. Mary delivered the Savior of the world, who would in turn, in time, deliver us from our sins. Jesus would rescue us from the mess we made of things and the mess we made of our lives. Mary, she had a special delivery of the Son of God, who would grow up to make way for a special delivery from the sin of the world that separates people from God, and the eternal mess all humanity was headed toward before he arrived. In time, Jesus would grow into a mature man and teach us and teach the disciples how to pray. At the end of that prayer, he says what we know is the Lord's Prayer. He says this, Jesus says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus helping us know how to pray when trying to navigate the mess around our lives. Deliver us from our mess, Lord Jesus. That is what the special delivery of the Messiah in the manger would lead to in time. Yes, the wonder of Christmas is about the special delivery that would one day lead to our special delivery when Jesus would grow up from a baby born in Bethlehem to a man who lived a perfect life and went all the way from the manger to the cross to deliver us from the mess of our sin. All who will admit that their sin has caused, who believe in the special delivery of the Savior named Jesus, who call on his name as the one who is our deliverer, can have a fresh start in life this Christmas with Jesus. Jesus is the Savior who meets us in our mess because that is the reason he was born. He came to get messy. If you need to experience the wonder of Christmas today, it is the perfect time to ask Jesus to meet you in your mess and help you clean your heart and set you free. He invites us today to receive this gift, to receive and count in him in a fresh, new way. Let's pray. Joy, get ready to come for your last song. I'll try to get that thing playing right when you're up there playing, so I have no words, but you'll have that. So, Father, we thank you today for your message. Lord, we're ready to gather for our communion can like part of service. I pray that you'll just be with us, God. Help us to walk in your goodness, walk in your mercy, walk in your grace. That helps to see the mess that we sometimes create for our lives. That, Lord, you're willing to just fix the mess, to take care of it, God, to walk and move in a mighty way. So I just pray right now, God, you just move in ways that only you can. Lord, bless in a mighty way. Teach us your ways in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I know what the problem is here.